Standing for the reading of God's wonderful, infallible book, the King James Bible.
Amen.
We don't use any other around here, and we won't as long as I'm here.
Amen.
We believe the King James
is
the Word of God. God-breathed book, we believe that. I want to ask you to turn in that Bible this morning to Psalms once again, Psalm number 99. Psalm number 99. And we're going to read all nine verses together. I'm going to bring a thought from this passage of Scripture this morning. I want to ask you to keep your Bibles open to the text. I'll be using it somewhat in the message this morning. Psalm number 99, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Lord reigneth.
Amen.
Let the people tremble.
Amen.
He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion.
Amen.
And he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name.
Amen.
For it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou doest establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God.
Amen.
And worship at his footstool,
Amen.
For he is holy.
Amen.
Moses and Aaron among the priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name.
Amen.
They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answeredest him, O Lord, them, O Lord. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their invention. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is
Amen.
Holy.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless that passage of Scripture. Let's pray.
Yes.
Our Father, we're thankful this morning to be in the house of God and to be able to gather together in thy name. And Lord, you said in thy word that where two or three are gathered together, that there you would be in their midst. So we trust that your presence is amongst us this morning. We look to thee for divine direction and guidance as we preach the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit, Lord, anoint this morning with grace and glory and unction and liberty. And I pray that you'd work in the hearts of your people to mend the brokenhearted and help the troubled and the afflicted and the sick. I pray, Lord, that you'd save sinners today by the good grace of God. We need deep conviction by the Holy Spirit. Only by the Spirit of God moving in our midst will sinners come to know Christ. So I pray that you'll do a work today that'll not only bring blessing to the hearts of people, but glory and honor to your wonderful name. And we'll thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And you may be seated this morning. I want you to keep your Bibles open to the text this morning. I'm going to be reading several verses out of it. And by God's help and grace this morning, I want to preach on the thought of holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Now, we've been studying these Psalms, and as I've said in the past, this Psalm here, this Psalm, is one of the series of Psalms which celebrates the kingship of Jehovah. That is, all these Psalms, as a man by the name of J.J. Perrone, a Bible scholar of years gone by, he said, all these Psalms alike tell of the setting up of a divine kingdom on earth, and all alike anticipate the event with great joy. And you know, that's what Brother Steve was talking about in Sunday school this morning. Is that kingdom of heaven that shall be established upon this earth. And we as God's people should look to the coming of that kingdom with great joy. Someone said, Lord, I like things the way they are. Well, you may like things the way they are, but I'm looking forward to things the way they're going to be.
Amen.
Not the way they are, but the way they're going to be when the Lord comes and establishes His kingdom upon this earth that we're living in. And we ought to anticipate that with great joy. We've heard the song saying, wait a little longer, please Jesus, till He get my loved ones in. Well, I want to see all my loved ones in with the grace of God. But I'm telling you, the Lord's never made a mistake, and His coming will not be a mistake. The catching away of the dead in Christ will not be a mistake by the Lord. He knows very well when He's coming. In that appointed time, the trumpet will sound, and the Lord shall return in the clouds to call us up to be with Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, is what the Bible says. And that kingdom will be established 7 years later upon this earth. Now, in all these psalms, joy springs from the same source. And we ought to have a little joy in our heart because of anticipating what the Lord is going to do. I've preached all of my life that there's a better day coming. I don't care how good it gets now, there's a better day coming. Somebody said, Lord, Brother Hall, I've got it pretty good right now. I've got a good job, good income, things are pretty good now, but there's a better day coming. I've got a nice home, a nice automobile, but there's a better day coming. I'm full of happiness and joy right now, but there's a better day coming. I've got all kind of blessings now, but I'm telling you, there's a better day coming. There is a better day coming for the people of God. You can just write that down. And that joy springs from the source, from the same source. And that is the thought that on this earth that we're presently living on, where wrong has so long triumphed over right, and you'd have to say, I'm right on that. Boy, I'll tell you, we're living in a topsy-turvy world. We're living in an upside-down world, ladies and gentlemen. And we're seeing, and the Bible states this, that we're living in times when right is called wrong, and wrong is called right. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah to God. And so they said years ago when these sodomites started putting rings in their ears, they had a saying, and you'll catch this if you listen close. They said they put that ring in the left ear because left is right and right is wrong. They're not talking about the right ear. They're talking about things being right is wrong. And I'm telling you there, hey, wrong has triumphed for a long time. But I'm glad there's coming an hour. There is coming an hour when our great God, our King, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, will sit upon the throne of His father David in Jerusalem and will establish a kingdom upon this earth wherein there will be no violence. There will be no sin. There will be no ungodliness. It'll be a time of great peace and tranquility for the people of God. For He will rule and reign with a rod of iron. Somebody say amen right there. I know that's right. That is exactly right. That's right. Wrong is triumphed over right. But there's coming a time that that righteous King shall reign and the kingdom shall be set up, which shall be the kingdom of righteousness, judgment, truth, and get this, and to it there shall never be an end. Somebody said, sure it'll end, Brother Hall. No, it won't. Because when that 1,000 years come to an end, Satan will be loose for a little season, but I'm telling you, the King, the New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband, and we're going into eternity, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, when that kingdom is established, it shall never have an end to it. The Lord, hey, will rule on this earth. As Brother Steve said this morning, His will be done on earth, just like it is done in heaven. Amen. There'll be no bucking going on at that time. Amen. That's right. Now stay right with me. The psalm is broken down in 3 stanzas. And each one of them, in the same regard to the holiness of God. They all end speaking about the holiness of God. For instance, in verse number 3, the Bible said, let them praise thy great name, and thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. He said in verse number 5, exalt ye the Lord. Why do we want to exalt the Lord? Why do we want to exalt the Lord? He tells us here, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Why? For He is holy. The Bible said in verse number 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill. Why? For the Lord our God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I'm preaching on holy, holy, holy this morning. Thank God, I'm glad we're serving a holy God. We're serving a God that is pure and righteous altogether. Amen. He is a holy God, and He expects you and I to be holy because He is holy. Better believe that's right. And I'm telling you, He'll make us holy if He's dwelling in us this morning. We're a holy people because God is a holy person, and Him dwelling in us will make us as holy just like God Almighty is holy as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the word holy is mentioned these three times. It's significant, isn't it? The Bible said in Isaiah 6:3, it was there that the seraphim. And by the way, many scholars believe that the seraphim and the cherubim are the same. Amen. I said a lot of people do. I don't know about that. I'm just telling you what a lot of people do. But I'm telling you that it was the seraphim in Isaiah chapter number 6 that stood above the throne of God and continually cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is thrice holy. He is holy in the Father. He is holy in the Son. And He is holy in the Holy Ghost. Say amen right there. He is a triune God and He is a holy God. Amen. And then in also in the book of Revelation, in chapter 4 and verse number 8, there's four beasts there around the throne. And it talks about how they cover their eyes. I'm not going into all that. But those four beasts that rest not day or night. Can you get a hold of this? They never rest. They never rest. They don't need any rest. You and I get there, we won't need any rest either. Our body will not need any rest. Hallelujah to God. Benny said the other night, said, Daddy, I've had two nights, about 2 hours a night. I said, I'm telling you. I said, how do you feel today? And he said, I feel a lot better today. He said, I got rejuvenated. So every now and then you got to get rejuvenated, and you do. That brain's got to get rejuvenated, and it does so by rest. And I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, we'll be like those four beasts there. We won't need any rest, hallelujah, up there. And those four beasts rest not day or night. Never at rest. And here's what they say. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He that was dead, he that was alive and was dead and is alive forevermore. Blessed His wonderful name. And He is a holy God, and He expects you and I to treat Him as a holy and a righteous God of our life. Amen. Now, I see three things in here that I think in this chapter that we see about the Lord's holiness. I want to say, number one, in the habitations He occupies, that our Lord is holy. Now, stay right with me. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, look at verse number 1. The Bible said, the Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth, where's He at? He sitteth where? Between the cherubims. Amen. Let the earth be moved. Amen. And so His place of habitation is a holy place. Amen. Wherever He makes His habitation, amen, is a holy place. Amen. And here He makes it between the cherubims. Amen. As He sits between the cherubim, that is His holy place. He is a holy God as He sits between those cherubim. I want to say three or four things about that. The fact that He sitteth suggests that he occupies a throne. Somebody say amen right there. He's not standing up and he's not sitting on a footstool, for the heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool, and that signifies the fact that as he sits between those cherubim, he is sitting on a throne, and if he sits on a throne, then he is high above all of the people. I say amen right there. Thank God. And he sits there to rule and reign on that throne too, folks. And by the way, he's not, what's that big word they use? Abnegated? Huh?
Abdicate?
Abdicate?
Abdicate.
I think I got it right. Well, another, let me put it simple. He ain't got off the throne yet. He ain't give right away to the devil or nobody else yet. He sitteth between the cherubim in a holy place. And because he's in a holy place, he is a holy God, and nobody except who's holy will ever sit there. He is a holy God. Amen. That's right. Thank the Lord. So he sitteth on that throne, suggests that he occupies the throne. Now, I want to say number two, the fact that he sitteth also reveals a work that has been completed.
Amen.
He sat down.
Right.
He sat down. When he finished his work, he sat down. And he completed it. Listen carefully to this verse of Scripture. Hebrews 1:3, talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power,
Amen.
When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I won't read, I won't say that again. When he had by himself purged our sins, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot add one thing to that. I won't say I'm thankful today that it was Christ that purged me from my sins. Come on in the house now. It wasn't joining the church. It was not doing good works. It wasn't tithing. It wasn't speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, it was Jesus himself purged our sins. He does what? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he sits in that holy place today. Hallelujah. Thank God. I am saved by the grace of God through faith in the finished, I want to say again, the finished work of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Bless his wonderful name. Holy, holy, holy. He's holy. That's right. So that reveals a complete work. Nothing be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. And may I say, I want you to get a hold of this. When he sat down after he had risen from the grave and ascended back, he not only purged the sins of the New Testament saints. Somebody turn the air on a little bit. He purged the sins of the Old Testament saints. Their sins were atoned for year by year. But I'm telling you, when Christ offered his blood one time, ladies and gentlemen, he not only purged our sins, but I'm here to tell you he purged their sins as well forever and ever. He was the very last sacrifice to ever be made. There are no other sacrifices. That's what the Antichrist is going to defile the temple. When he makes that offering in the temple and sits down as he is God and defiles the temple, hey, God ain't gonna like that. Don't need no other sacrifices. Jesus is our sacrifice, not was, is. Our sacrifice. Now you listen carefully. The Bible not only said he sits there, but he sits between the cherubim. Now this is in reference, sitting between the cherubims has got to be in reference to the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat.
Yes, sir.
The mercy seat had the cherubims at each end with their wings outstretched over that mercy seat. And the Bible said that he's God, that God, that he sitteth between the cherubims.
Yes,
So that tells me, are you listening now? That tells me that he sits above the mercy seat. And so, hey, where he is sitting is so holy. Amen. It's also a place of mercy. Thank God. When he offered that blood, thank God he brought mercy. Thank God there's mercy in the Lord today. Men can be saved. Men can be born again. Men and women can be forgiven of their sins because God is a merciful God. Bless his holy name. Amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Psalm 145 verse 8 said the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Now, listen carefully. That place where he's at, that blood has been offered on that mercy seat. And that mercy seat is above the ark. And inside that ark is the tables of stone that Moses wrote upon. Inside that ark is Aaron's rod that budded. Inside that ark is the golden pot of manna.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, above it is the, on that mercy seat is the blood.
Yes.
And I won't say where he is sitting today, ladies and gentlemen, is a place of redemption.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. It is a place of redemption.
Amen.
Oh, no wonder. Hey, this psalm is all about us praising him and worshiping him and adoring him because he is holy. And I'm telling you, without his holiness, are you listening to what I'm saying? There would be no redemption for you and I today. But that mercy seat is a place of redemption for sinners. Now, I don't want to throw no cog in nobody's spokes. Don't want you to think I'm a heretic. But that last verse where it said, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
Amen.
I want you to listen carefully. I know Calvary, and I'm going to mention it here in a little while. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's on that mercy seat. That is where our redemption is at, is in that mercy seat. Hallelujah to God. You want mercy, you're going to have to go to the place where mercy is found. You want to be saved and find mercy, go to the mercy seat. Where God sitteth between the cherubims, hallelujah. And there's mercy with the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? That old drunks can get saved. Aren't you glad that harlots can get saved? Aren't you glad thieves can get saved and thugs can get saved? I'm glad that it come to call the ungodly and the unfaithful to repentance, sinners to repentance. He did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I've heard Harold Sattler say this 1,000 times. You don't have to be good to go to heaven to qualify to go. You've got to be bad to qualify to go. God don't save good people. Self-righteous, heretic, or hypocrites. Save sinners. Amen. Now, listen to this verse of Scripture. Romans 3:24 and 25. Being justified freely. You get a hold of that one next century. Being justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that mercy seat means is a place of propitiation. Jesus is our mercy seat. Thank God Jesus is our mercy seat. And he sitteth between the cherubims of the Holy God. Amen. Amen. I know that's right. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The remission of sins, what? that are past.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that? They're gone. They're gone, ladies and gentlemen. God hath made Him, through faith in His blood, a propitiation for the remission of our sin in the past half by the forbearance of God. You get a hold of that word forbearance. I'm telling you, God is very forbearing with people. He's very long-suffering. God is very patient.
Amen.
Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be saved. Well, what a great God we have. Amen to God. May He never turned one away, buddy. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now you need to get a hold of that. I believed that for years to be that him that come to Christ and got saved, that after he got saved, God wouldn't cast him out. That's not what that means. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, any sinner that comes to Christ, He's not going to cast him away from Him. He's not going to cast him out. In other words, He's not going to deny him. If he truly comes with a heart of repentance, amen, I'm telling you, God will receive the will receive him. Hallelujah. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He never turned one sinner away. Not one. They've turned from him, but he's never turned any away. Just like the prodigal son that stood watching and waiting for that boy to come home. I'm telling you, he saw that boy afar off. Better watch out. You realize that Jesus saw those lepers afar off? That father saw the prodigal afar off? And do you realize that the Bible said, and you Gentiles who were afar off? Woo! Then I hang right in there a while. Aren't you glad that when he took in the nation of Israel, that he saw us Gentiles afar off? Hey, we're not a second thought to God in His plan. God saw us afar off, thank God, and knew that His Son would die for our sins as well as the nation of Israel. Bless His wonderful name. And He's a holy God. And He set us between the cherubims in a place of habitation today. Amen. That's right. Bless His wonderful name. Thank God. I believe I could just about preach. Boy, I like to preach on the Lord. But it's not only a place of redemption. You listen carefully. It is a place of revelation. When Moses was putting that mercy seat together according to the plans that God gave him, the Bible said in Exodus 25 and verse 22, God said, "And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony. Of all things which I will give thee and in command unto the children of Israel." All things that I will give thee. Somebody said, "I'd like to know more about Jesus." You know where he's at? He's behind the veil. Oh, you're going to have to get into that Holy of Holies. Behind the veil, where he's at, where he's set up between the cherubim. It's there that he'll reveal his will and way and work and his love and mercy and grace and beauty and holiness to you, you sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. And we can thank Christ that we've got a new and a living way. Amen. It's a blood-sprinkled way, a consecrated way, through His veil, which is His flesh, into the throne of God. Hallelujah. I've just about run my head through the wall right now. Jesus is our veil. He made the way for us to get to God. Hallelujah. With His holy name. Amen. He made the way for us to get to God. That's why he said, "I am the way." Ain't no man coming to the Father but by Him, friend. You can't bypass Jesus and get to heaven. You ain't going by Allah. Neither is that other crowd. There ain't no 70 virgins waiting for them up there either. Like Brother Titus was telling us yesterday, some preacher got up and said, I don't know. Them 70 virgins, whether they'll be male or female. For God said there'll be neither male or female in heaven. Said them guys goes up there looking for 70 virgins, they might get 70 men.
Amen.
They're all messed up.
Amen.
They need to get rid of the Quran and read the Bible.
Amen.
Read the Bible, friend.
Amen.
Amen to God. Some of you didn't like that, but it's still true. Didn't Jesus say that in heaven there'll be neither male nor female? But they'll be like the angels of God. What the book says. I didn't write it. Take it up with Him if you got a problem with it. Amen. That's right. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to heaven to see 70 virgins anyway. I'm going to heaven to see Jesus!
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Thank God. So it's a place of revelation. You want to know more about Him? In there behind the veil. Where He sitteth between the cherubims. Hallelujah. To God in the highest. May I say, now listen carefully, it's a place of reverence. Psalm 89:7 said, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be in reverence of all them that are about Him.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen to me very carefully. We need to examine ourselves at Island Ford Baptist Church.
Amen.
See just how reverent we are. And how reverent are our children to the house of God?
Amen.
I'm just telling you, this is not a racetrack.
Amen.
We're not running the 500 around here.
Amen.
This is not a toy shop. We're not looking for Santa Claus to bring toys.
Amen.
This is God's holy house.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, and we are reverent. We ought to be in reverence to this place and the God of this place as well. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
Now, I hope I didn't make none of you mad. Hallelujah. It's a place of reverence. All people that are around God reverence God. I don't believe it's going to be quite like we think it's going to be when we get in His presence. You want to see how we're going to be in His presence? Read Revelation chapter number 4. Will you do that? You'll find out. Now listen carefully. I won't say not only the place of His habitation, but the people of His habitation. Look at verse number 2. The Bible said, the Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. All the people. 1 John, and I'm hurrying now, 1 John 4:12 said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us.
Amen.
And His love is perfected in us. He sitteth between the cherubims.
Right.
And as He sits there, He is holy.
Amen.
And as He sits there, He also inhabits His people.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, can you get a hold of that? I mean, it amazes me. Come on now. It amazes me how God, as magnificent and glorious as God is, when it said the heaven of heavens cannot contain God, and yet God, that being that took His little finger and scooped out the rivers of the world with His finger, and holds all saved people in the palm of His hand. And yet a great big God like that humbled Himself and came down that He might dwell in our hearts by faith.
Amen.
Thank God, I'm telling you, He's got a place of habitation in the people of God today. He dwells in us.
And it's a holy place.
Right.
His presence makes it holy.
Amen.
How you doing today, bub?
Amen.
Seemed to like that, didn't it? Might go over and get another one. You get a hold of that, that the great big God lives in you. Now, if we're a holy habitation under God, don't you think that we ought to be mindful of the things that what we say and where we go and what we do?
Amen.
Every place we go, we take God with us.
Amen.
You can't get away from Him if He's living in you. He hears every whisper you make. He knows every thought of your mind. He knows everything about you, where you are, what you're doing, every minute of the day. Holy, holy,
amen.
Holy is the Lord of hosts who setteth between the cherubims and dwelleth in His people.
Amen.
I said, didn't get very far with that one.
Amen.
I don't think some of y'all believe that.
Amen.
Been the mystery hid since the foundation of the world, which is God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then I want to say, not only His people of habitation, but the praises of His habitation. The Bible said in Psalm 22:3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel."
Amen.
He lives in our praise. Somebody said, "Well, that's Israel." Well, are you His people?
Amen.
In other words, when it was kind of breaking out a little bit in here a while ago, God was living there. He was inhabiting that. He was dwelling among that. Somebody said, "No, I just don't believe that." Well, you believe whatever you want to believe. I couldn't change your mind no how. But I'm telling you, God inhabits the praises of Israel. He lives there. You ought to read the Bible and see how many times it said, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Is He that suffered as no other man has ever suffered? Not worthy of our adoration.
Yes, He is.
He that bore our sins in His own body upon the tree. He that was crowned with a crown of thorns and the blood from His head dripped down upon His brow. And yet when He was reviled, He opened not His mouth. When they smote Him with a rod in the face, He didn't say a word back. When they plucked the very hairs from His face, He never uttered a word. When they beat Him with that cat of nine tails until His entrails fell out, He never opened His mouth. And I don't think we get a hold of the fact that He done it all for us. Somebody said, "Oh, but He was God." They knew that He'd get up out of the grave again. And praise God, I'm saved. And I know I'm getting up out of the grave again.
Amen.
But you've got to understand one thing, that you and I are going to die. Get a hold of this now. This body is going to die because of sin.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. That's why you can never reach perfection, because this body can never be made perfect. It is going to die. The wages of sin is death. Now you hear me very carefully.
Amen.
This body is going. Lost my train of thought. What was I saying, though? Huh? Yeah, I know what I said all that. I remember what I was saying, but I don't remember where I was going. What was I talking about before that? You, son, you're sitting there listening, huh?
Why the body won't reach perfection.
Yeah. No perfection. I understand that. Because this body is going to die. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Boy, just thank you, Lord Jesus. If you just meditate long enough, it'll come back. What I'm saying is our body is going to die because of sin! But Jesus had to become obedient unto death.
That's right.
He had to become obedient
submit to death when death said die. He had to humble himself to death and said die. He said to himself, die. To become obedient to it.
Y'all listening now? Praise God. He's holy. And he expects and deserves and desires our adoration.
Amen.
And our praise. He inhabits the praise of his people. I want to say number two. Not only do I see his holiness in the habitation. I'm just about done. I've got through the main part of the message. But I see it in the honor that he bears.
Amen.
I see his holiness in the honor that he bears. Somebody said, well, preacher, look at verse number 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool.
Amen.
Worship at his footstool? For he is holy.
Amen.
I see honor in his name. Come on now, you always help me while I'm going. I see honor in his name. The Bible said in Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is which is above every name.
Amen.
It's not Peter, James, and John, Paul. It's Jesus. It's not Gary or Joe or Jerome. It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's not you. It's Jesus. His name. Are you here? He is above every name, ladies and gentlemen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Father, I'm going to say, here's the one I want to get to, and I like it. You can lump, hump, and jump, and bump, or whatever you want to do, but I like it. Praise God. The Bible said in Acts 4:12, it said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Humble ourselves and worship at his footstool. Because of the honor that's been given unto him.
Amen.
There's not another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
He's the only way. I've said that earlier. I want to say it again. Salvation. Some of you said, well, I got in on the plan of salvation. Friend, no such thing. Salvation is not in a plan. Salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is in a person.
Amen.
You might have prayed. And somebody may have read you some scripture. But if you got saved, you got saved by a person. Salvation is of the Lord. I don't care whether you like me for that or not. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. There's not another name under given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody said today, said, what is his name? I can tell you his name. Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the honor. I got thinking about that honor, and I thought about, and I had to say this, and I know it ain't going to make much sense right now, but the ground that he occupies is such an honorable place.
Amen.
Do you realize, anybody here, if you do, raise your hand, do you know where the first mention of holy, the word holy is in the Bible? Anybody know? Where it's mentioned the first time, holy. You got it, ma'am. When the Bible said in Exodus 3:5, when God saw Moses and appeared to him in that burning bush, and Moses drew nigh to see the Lord, and the Lord said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is what?
Holy
ground! Hallelujah. First place that's ever mentioned is holy ground. What are you getting at, Brother Hall? I'm saying any ground, anywhere, any ground where he is at is holy ground.
Amen.
Amen. Where his presence is holy ground.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can I give you just three of them real quick? I'm trying to hurry, Brother Josh. I'm trying to hurry. But I want to say, hey, the ground of Mount Sinai, or we might say the Mount Horeb. Somebody say they're both the same mount. I don't know. I wouldn't argue with you one way or the other. But it was on Sinai that God came down. And the mountain was on fire. And the mountain was full of smoke. And he told Moses, said, tell the people not to break through lest they may run through in the dark. Because, hey, this place is a holy place. Oh, I'm telling you, somebody said, why? Mount Sinai, where the law was given. Somebody said, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. Thank God for the law of God. It was given in a holy place, and it is yet holy today. Somebody said, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. You, hey, better watch your mouth there, too. We're not under the ceremonial law. We're not offering lambs and sacrifices. But I'm telling you, if you want to get out from under the law, you're going to have to take Exodus 20 and cut it out. You're going to have to say it's all right to fornicate, and it's all right to commit adultery, and it's all right to dishonor your parents, and it's all right to be a thief, and it's all right. You're going to have to say a whole lot. I'm telling you, the civil law, we are still bound by. Thank God for the law. And it was the law and the ceremony that brought us to Christ. Every lamb, every goat, every bullock that was offered was a type of Jesus. That's what brought us to Christ. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now I'm telling you, when he came down on Mount Sinai, that ground was holy ground where he was at, folks. Because it was there that he gave us the law. I believe it was Paul himself said something to the fact, he said, is the law not holy? He said, God forbid.
That's right.
You better believe it's holy.
Amen.
Then that ground, not only where the law was given, but that place where that ground where his love was given.
Amen.
Ooh.
Amen.
Mount Calvary.
Where
he climbed to the top of that hill, ladies and gentlemen, bearing his own cross.
Amen.
And there on Mount, you talking about holy ground. When the Father and the Son got together on Mount Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. And our salvation was consummated there on Mount Calvary.
Amen.
And that thick darkness was over the earth for 3 hours from the sixth to the ninth hour. And that darkness covered the earth. I'm telling you, there was some real business taking place, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! It was there. And I just, I better not say this, some of y'all. It was there that Jesus, I'll put it biblically, it was then that Jesus bruised the head of the serpent. I want to say before Jesus kicked his backside. But it was there that he bruised his head. Amen. And Calvary, I'm going to tell you, that ground is holy ground because it was there that he revealed his love to every sinner dying on Calvary for you and I. Amen. I want to say the ground where he was lifted is holy ground. Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the cave that he was buried in.
Amen.
You think that ground wasn't holy ground where that body laid in there for 3 days and 3 nights? You better believe it was. It was in that grave 3 days and 3 nights, ladies and gentlemen, that he ascended into the depths and preached the gospel to them that were in prison in the depths, amen, and led Moses and the Old Testament saints out of paradise. Somebody say amen right there.
Woo.
I'm just hearing Moses and Abraham and that crowd hollering right now when they see him come and said, here he comes, Lord, and he's got somebody with him that looks like a thief to me that must have got in. Hallelujah. Well, they told that thief today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you, that cave was holy ground, folks. And I don't know so much about people going over there today and trampling backwards and forth in that holy place. Amen. When Moses got on that holy ground, had to take his shoes off. When Joshua got on that holy ground, he had to take his shoes off. I tell you one more thing that's holy. The ground is holy. The ground is holy where the law was given. The ground is holy where he loved us. The ground was holy where he was lifted from. The ground is also holy where he left from.
Woo!
When those two men in white apparel said, hey, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus you're taking up till so come in like manner. You've seen him.
taken away. I'm telling you, that ground is holy ground, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what I believe it is? I want everybody to listen. Don't want to get ahead of myself. But I believe it's Mount Moriah. It was there that Isaac was offered. Mount Moriah is where the temple is going to be built in the millennial reign. It was Mount Moriah that he died on. It's Mount Moriah that he's coming back again to. That's holy ground, son, where he lifted off from. He's coming again. Brother George sang it right this morning. He's coming again. Maybe morning, maybe soon, maybe evening, maybe noon or whatever it says. But he's coming again. I won't say. I'm trying to close here. Not only is the ground he occupies holy, but the garments that he wears is holy. And I'll just mention that. Exodus 29:21, talking about the high priest. It says, and thou shalt take the blood that is upon the altar, and thou shalt take the blood that is upon the altar and the anointing oil and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments.
Amen.
And upon his sons and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments and his sons and his garments with him. Now, can I spiritualize a little bit? That's talking about Aaron the high priest. It said his garments have been sprinkled with the blood and with the anointing oil, and the garments that he wears as the high priest are holy garments.
Amen.
And we've got a great high priest whose name is Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm telling you what, he's got some garments that are very holy garments.
Yeah,
but can I tell you the part, Brother Jerome, let me get hold of your
Hallelujah. Come on,
I'm going to tell you what I love about that whole part of that. It said not only will Aaron's garments be holy, but the garments of his sons. I'm telling you, not only the garments of our great high priest, but the garments of his sons. You and I, our garments are holy garments. Thank God we're clothed in a robe of white, ladies and gentlemen. We got holy garments on us today. On him and his sons. That's his wonderful name. Holy! Holy, holy! And if his garments are holy and our garments are holy, that makes us holy.
Amen.
Ain't that good?
Amen.
Thank God that's good preaching, Brother Hall. One point for you. Now, may I say in closing, the glory that belongs only to Him. Psalm 86:9. All nations, when they said, whom Thou hast made, shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not only is ground is occupied the holy and the garments He wears the holy, but the glory that belongs to only Him is holy as well. He'll share it with no man. No man. This final thought in verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill. That's the third holy. For the Lord our God is holy.
Amen.
That holy hill. Some of the commentators believe that that holy hill is in reference to the throne of intercession. Because he said in verse 6, Moses and Aaron among the priests, Samuel among them that called upon his name. They called upon the Lord and he answered them.
Amen.
A place of prayer, a throne of intercession.
Amen.
Got to come before him and pray.
Amen.
You have to go before the throne of grace and pray.
Amen.
Then there's others that believe that it's talking about that hill, it's talking about the cross or the tree that he died upon. On Mount Calvary. He said in verse 8, he said, Thou wast the God that forgavest them.
Amen.
He forgave them with the cross. And then there's others that believe that that hill is referring to the temple that shall be erected. And we're to come to that hill, the Mount Moriah. And we will, all nations will assemble there someday. on that holy hill.
Amen.
On that holy hill.
Yeah,
and we'll bow as they did and cry, holy.
Amen.
Holy, amen. Holy. And you may never thank Him now. You may think I've been made a fool out of myself today. I could care less what you think.
Amen. Amen.
Great.
Amen.
But how I'm like Doc Sotler. How can I help but to get carried away
Amen.
When I think of what He's done for me?
Amen.